of last night.
John chapter 3. The gospel according to John chapter 3. We have still not found a title for it. We'll get it at the end of Believer's Meeting. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 1. I said something. I said, just like Nicodemus, when a man meets Jesus, he ought to live with light. Nicodemus literally and spiritually came in darkness. Came at night, and his heart was dark. But when a man leaves an encounter with Jesus, he ought to live with light. Nicodemus, eventually in John chapter 7, you will find that he is now addressing other Pharisees and he's saying, let's give Jesus a chance. He might be speaking the truth. And then you eventually found that when Jesus was going to be buried, it was Nicodemus and Joseph Arimathea that buried him. When a man meets Jesus, he ought to live with light. Don't forget, the book of John opens up directly that say, he is the light that lights all men that comes into the world. So I receive his light. Of course, you receive his light in salvation, but it's not a one-time experience. We keep receiving his light. And so, I said something. I said, Christian meetings is not where you just come to have good time. We had a good time, like you went for house party. Miles Monroe, a blessed memory. Miles Monroe said, Christian meetings, when you leave Christian meetings, you ought to leave with a mandate. I know a lot of people listen to Miles Monroe and then what they remember is his motivational speech. But oh boy, he was a man of God. He said, you ought to live with a mandate. When you leave a place where believers are gathered, where God's word is taught and the things of the Spirit are given expression, it ought to leave you better than you walked in. And I trust God that that's going to be your experience in this meeting. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees called Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God. And no man does these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you. And you know, that's why you cannot just quote any part of the Bible. No man does this miracle except God be with him. That's not God talking. That's Nicodemus. When Jesus was going to say his own, Jesus said, some people do miracles and they claim they did it in my name. And I never knew them. You see the difference? Jesus said people can do miracles without God being with them. Nicodemus said, no man does this miracle except God is with him. And someone can just go, John chapter 3 verse 2. Or John chapter 3 verse 1. No man does this miracle except God is with him. And he's quoting an unbeliever Nicodemus. And so you must read properly before you start quoting. I've told you, biblical is different from it's written in the Bible. There are many things written in the Bible that are not biblical. For example, in the same Bible, you find slavery is in the Bible. You find revenge. It's in the Bible, but it's not biblical. And so, it's not everything in the Bible that is consumable. Does it make any sense? You find someone sleeping with his brother or sister because he had lust in his heart. It's in the Bible. Pedophile is in the Bible. Is it biblical? No. Biblical is the result of reading the entire Bible. And say, you know what? This is what the Bible says. That's biblical. And so Jesus answered Nicodemus.
there are people that just gaslight you. Gaslight is a new terminology. I'm learning it. You know, I'm Gen Z. I'm 16. I'll be 17 next week. And one of our terms as Gen Zs is gaslight. What do I call it? Nicodemus gaslighting Jesus. I know you are a teacher come from God. As I'm looking at you, I remember one time I went to teach somewhere. And someone called me and said, I see you. You are a teacher of the body of Christ. Now, this was many years ago. He said, I've never heard anybody teach like you. I just laughed. I said, you see this thing I just taught you? I copied it word for word from someone's sermon. You have grown better. You can compose sermons. I'm talking about over a decade ago. I'm copying everything. What? I said, this is the teaching. You've got to listen to it and listen to what I've said. Example for example. Illustration for illustration. In fact, pause for pause. When the preacher pause, I will pause. I will write in my notes. He paused here. Yeah. I said, so I'm not the teacher of the body of Christ. You are the principal. You know, there are people that can just gaslight you to your own downfall. Don't allow that. Amen. You'll be stupid to do that. Hallelujah. So Nicodemus was done with Jesus. There's nobody that does this kind of miracles. Maybe I've seen it once and I was not yet born. If you don't get that, don't worry. And Jesus answered and said, what did he say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus shows us outrightly how our conversations need to be patterned. A believer must not forget to mention salvation. It's part of our daily duties. We are saved to save others. You know that old word. God is trusting you with the lives of many. And maybe for some people, when Nicodemus tells them this, the next thing is they begin to tell him, hermeneutics is about, I did a bit of eschatology. Nah. You ought to bring in the Jesus story, the story of all mankind. How every man needs a savior. Is that clear? No, yesterday we made an oath, a pledge, that we'll preach Jesus. Right? We still stand by it? I'll preach Jesus. All over the world. I'll preach Jesus. All right? So, Jesus said, except a man be born again. Very, very, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Funny things we Christians say, yeah. Just that this one is not a Christian. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And we started to explain the concept of water yesterday, right? So we said, was Jesus talking about water baptism? No. And you have to read properly. Now, like I said yesterday, there's no issue with water baptism. I don't have an issue with it. I don't have an issue with communion. I don't have an issue with tithe. What else again? There are some sacred cows like that you don't kick. Baptism, communion, tithes. I think those are like the three pillars. Eh? You want to say something? Brother, you had all of those things now. So say it. I don't have an issue with any. Just that we must not spice up the gospel. The gospel is clear. Everyone that believes in him is saved. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. It's that simple. It's that simple that you have to pay someone to confuse you. Amen. I mean, you have to bring out some few bucks and say, this verse confuse me. It's literally that simple. If a man believes, he is saved. How many of you are saved? Yeah. Yeah, good. I'm saved. I'm saved.
I'm saved.
I am saved and I am redeemed. Something like that. I am saved.
I'm saved.
All right. And we began to look at, we said, is there a difference between seeing the kingdom of God and entering the kingdom of God? It's just play of English. Yes, I've seen people exaggerate that, and that's where the sermon came from. Say, you can see the kingdom and not enter. Are you hearing me? Say, brethren, let me take you to another dimension. Some people see, they don't enter. You know, inside this dimension, and portals, and all of those things. My head automatically start filtering. There are words I'm scared of. Potter, dimension, realms. That's the seven realms, seven heavens. I'm scared of those words. Boy, why is a good use of that? Amen. And you can see and not enter. No, the words means the same thing. It means to experience, to be a part of. So when he says you will not see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom. It's not what you see with your eyes. It's what you become a part of by the Spirit or by your Spirit. All right? So Jesus says, how can a man be a part of the kingdom of God? He said he has to be born of water. And he explains it, and of the Spirit. Now, we got to look at the word and yesterday, don't forget. And we said, sometimes and can be joining two words together. For example, you see Jacob and Esau, or Cain and Abel went to the field. Cain and Abel means you're talking about two people. Is it making sense? Cain went to the field and Abel went. You also see something like Cain offered of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also. Is it making sense? Two people. And he uses and for that. But there are also times where you see and it's talking about one and the same person. We looked at one yesterday, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not talking about two people, if I'm right, right? Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two people are one and the same person. One and the same person. And so, and in that instance is explaining, not a conjunction. And that shows you that Bible study is serious business. It's serious work. It's not what you just psh. I must, many years ago, myself and my friends, we would take Bible verses. I don't know if I've told you before. We'll just pick any random Bible verse and say, let's go look for deep meanings. Nobody sent us. God did not send us. The devil did not send us. We just will wake up. You can just be John 3:16. Let me give you that example now. I say, we just say, focus on the word. I guess God is not, that's why I believe in him. Should not perish but have everlasting life. Go. Everybody will go. 15 minutes, 1 hour later, come and hear Rev. Rev that even when the devil hears, they will say, ah. Ah, afa. You are an allergy. You know, I remember I came back with one time. I said, for God so loved the world. And that's entrepreneurship. That you cannot do a business without loving it. Like Dangote loves cement. Sela. Say, you have to love the business. I said, that he gave is only because of that. That's capital. You feel me? Say, that's capital. That if you want to do business, after loving is not enough. You have to give capital. You have to give your all. That whosoever believes, I didn't even care who is believing. I said you have to believe in your business. Like saying I gotta go believe. Yeah. So you love the business, you give capital, then you believe in the business. Now why, what are you doing there if you cannot believe in it? Shall not perish. I said, then that business will now not perish. But we'll have eternal life. Yeah. See it. God gave his son, he got the world. That's profit. And guess what? People are writing. I'm still trying to redeem the image because there's one person that was in that room that day that is still using it. I have chatted him up. I have called him. I've done video. I've done everything. He's in Canada. He's still using it to make money. And here I am, rubbishing it every special meeting. Amen. Don't just take the Bible and say nonsense. Sit down, learn God's word. Amen. All right, so again, how is a man part of the kingdom of God? He is born of water, that is of the Spirit. Don't forget, yesterday we looked at Ezekiel's prophecy in Ezekiel 36, verse 25, where God said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your idols and impurities. Then he proceeds and says, I will give a new spirit. A new spirit I will put within you. I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh. And I will put in the heart of flesh. I will cause you to walk in my statutes, in my ordinances, and my judgment you will do. Is it making sense? Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. And God uses, or Ezekiel, speaking for God, uses water as an illustration of the Spirit of God. It is not a strange thing in the Bible. Is it only Ezekiel that did it? No. We saw Jesus himself, right? Say, in John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. I'm expecting that you turn there now. Nobody's going to display anything on the screen. You are a Bible, you are a believer. You have a Bible. Or is it Quran you brought? Huh? Uh-huh, you brought a Bible. John chapter 7. I said, they open Bible too much in that church. What should we be opening? Ababio. Huh? Chemistry textbook. Is Ababio chemistry or physics? Chemistry. Sorry, I forgot it. It's been a while. All right, John chapter 7, verse 38. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said. Now, it has to be said that there's no scripture that actually said this. Just that this is a summary of many scriptures. Is it making sense? It's like saying, how did I put it? Like someone has said a lot of things, and you just bring the summary. Daddy said, we should be home before 7. What did Daddy say? Daddy said, don't come late. Don't keep bad friends. Ensure that you're always home before dark. Then you bring it and say what? Daddy has said we should come home before 7. Is it making sense? So it's not like he said it outrightly, but that's your summary. Is it making sense? All right. So as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And we're able to explain that a bit yesterday. We said, out of whose belly? Eh? Christ or the believer? All right. Now, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Not the believer. I've seen a lot of people say, out of my belly. Out of my belly shall flow rivers. Are you an aquarium? Out of your belly. This small belly. Your belly is not small. You eat for fufu. Rivers of living waters can flow. You know, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Verse 39. This is spoke of what? The Spirit. So the living water there is what? The Spirit. See again, using water for the Spirit of God. Out of Christ's belly will flow rivers of living waters. This is spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should what? Receive. So who receives the living water? We have it, right? we receive, the believer receives living water out of where? Out of Christ's belly. What is his belly? Of course, the womb, the grave, the resurrection. So the resurrection is always used synonymously with the womb. You see, with the womb, you see the belly. I think Jesus himself used it. He said, like Jonah in the belly of the fish, of the whale. That's how Christ is going to come. So you see the word belly synonymous with his death and resurrection. Does that make sense? So out of Christ's belly, from his resurrection, will come the Spirit. And those who believe on him will receive his Spirit. But very importantly, he uses water and the Spirit alike. Again, baptism, water baptism, started with John. Nobody in the Old Testament got baptized by water. Just to see. With all Moses' spirituality, he didn't baptize anyone. He didn't even remember to. Because it does not exist. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Habakkuk, Nahum, Zephaniah. Everybody somehow forgot because it does not exist. Then John came, which I think if he hears you call him John the Baptist, he will not be happy with it. Amen. He'd rather John the Prophet, something like that. John the Baptist, he will say, who is this one? He's not his Nigerians, I'm sure. Alright? And even John himself, guess what? Was not baptized. Shocker. John the Baptist was not baptized. It shows you how important it can be. So much that when Jesus came and said, baptize me, John said, we both know that you don't need this thing. You will baptize with the Holy Ghost. And so he baptized people with water to show them what God is going to do in Christ. That is, I cannot baptize with the Holy Ghost, but there's something I can use that will be close to it, and that's water. Is it making sense? And so we saw that Titus, Titus 3 verse 5, also used water synonymous with the Holy Ghost. Now, look at Peter. Learning something? Are you learning something? 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. Verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of the Lord waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. And so on and so on. He said, 8 souls were saved by what? Water. By what? Water. I said, it's not water. By what? Have you heard people like that before in outreach? They don't want explanation. No. Just tell them answer. So he said, by what? I said, hey, water. Like, well, read the next verse. They were saved by what? I said, actually, Peter said, oh, what kind of person is this one? They were saved by what? And the real truth is that there's no short answer to Bible question. A lot of people want short answers. Just tell me something. Let me go and be fine now. Just tell me this answer. No, there's no short answer. You've got to answer it by explaining it. Alright? Right. He said 8 souls were saved by water. Now, if you look at it very well, were they saved by water or they were saved from water? Just think, just say, you know, the 8 souls of Noah. By water or from water? Okay. Can we verse 21 together, everybody? Want to go? Oh, then I go on. Want to go? Verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism also now saves us. Now, look at that. Baptism also now saves us. But before you go ahead, Peter quickly puts it in. Not the putting away of what? That is, not the one that washes away the debt on your body. But what? But the answer of a good conscience towards God. By what? By the resurrection of Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying the baptism I'm talking about is the one that came from resurrection. What came from resurrection? His spirit. Is it making sense? Alright? So, he's saying the baptism I'm saying that saves us is the one that came by his death and resurrection. The one Jesus spoke about where he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. He said, this he spoke of the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet risen. Is it making sense? Alright, so which baptism actually says? Is it the one that washes away the death of the body, or the one where we answer to the resurrection? So, Peter is saying, when we got saved, when we believed the gospel, when we believed Jesus' story, that what he did for us, he says, that saved us. Just like Noah's ark. Alright? So, again, I was baptized twice by water. Or in water. One was at Lele. One was inside the church. There's a pool. Pool of Siloam. At the back of the altar. Amen. And they put me inside. And I came out. It was fun. It was nice. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's just cool. In fact, you always feel like, now I'm a full Christian. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. The first time you had communion. So now I can go and start church. Now, Christian will draw you. Calm down. Hallelujah. Alright, so we said, what gets a man saved? Go back to John 3:5. That's where we're coming from. It says, except a man be born of water. Now, that and of the spirit, is that and, is he combining two things or is he explaining water? Is that one clear now? Alright, so, except a man be born of water, that is of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then just go ahead and say in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh, is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you. No, I'm not there yet. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. Can we verse 8 together? The wind blows where it lists, and hears a sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit. And we began to look at this yesterday. We laid the law foundation yesterday. Because this believer's meeting. We want to do things. Amen. So, he says, the wind blows where it wants. Now, the word wind, there's the word pneuma. Don't want to write Neymar, or the player. Pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. P-N E-U-M-A. Pneuma is the same word, funny enough, that was used in verse 6, where he said, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The word Spirit there is also the word pneuma, which is the word wind, air. You find it used by John. I'll just list this and then you write it down. In John chapter 1 verse 32, John chapter 1 verse 33, twice in that verse 33, as the word spirit. John chapter 3 verse 5, we just read that. John chapter 3 verse 6, we just read that. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Then John chapter 3 verse 8, where it said the wind, the word wind there is the word spirit. So you can actually replace it and say, the spirit blows where it wants. The influence of the spirit goes where it wants. You get a new meaning now? The spirit goes where it wants. He said, and you hear the sound. Say, I hear the sound. Come on, say, I hear the sound. So he said, the Spirit goes where he wants. He said, we hear the sound. But observe what Jesus said. He said, but we don't know where it's coming from. We don't know where it's going to. But we hear the sound. Let me just give you where the word pneuma was used. So just John 3:8, John 3:14, John 4:23, John 4:24, John 7:39. We read that now. This is spoke of the Spirit, which your name should receive. John 11:33, John 13:21, John 14:17. I will send you the Holy Ghost. John 14:26, John 15:26, where he spoke about the Comforter. John 16:13, John 19:30, the Holy Ghost. And John 20:22. So John was consistent in his use of pneuma, wind, as spirit. Now I'll go back to John chapter 3, verse 8. You learning something? Huh? All right. So he said, the Spirit blows where he desires. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going, but you hear the sound. The influence of the Spirit goes where it wants. Now, I began to explain that yesterday. I said, what is John saying? He's saying, even though you hear the sound of the wind, you don't understand it. He said, you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going to, but you know there's wind. He said, so is every man, or better put, so is with every man born of the Spirit. So is with every man born of the Spirit. What is he saying? He is saying the Holy Ghost can go ahead of your understanding. And I asked you yesterday that how many of us have been led by God before we understood the meaning of the leading of the Spirit? Let me see your hands. You've actually had an impression, a nudge. You put it as something was telling me. I don't know what I'm talking about. Far back as in teen's church, children's church, and I was going, something just told me that I should not go that direction. Something. Then later on in life, God leads us with the inward witness. Then you begin to go Isaiah way. Say, you hear a voice behind your ear. We tell you this is the way to go. Go right, go left. Now you understand the leading of the Spirit, but God has been leading you since. Is it making sense? So the Holy Ghost can actually go ahead of your senses. I was singing in tongues already before I even knew the meaning of singing in spirit. Amen. So I said, he's singing in spirit chants. I know a lot of people have that question. So in the last 3 weeks alone, or 4 weeks, I probably have gotten that question more than 20 times. That same question. He's singing the spirit chant. What I just know is that when you sing in the spirit, there's interpretation. Amen. So if whatever anybody is saying, if it has an interpretation, even if you say la kukulala, la kukulala, if it has an interpretation by the Spirit and it's not agbari, what's agbari in English? Scope. Mental accent. Thank you. Some people say with mental accent. Scope, pastor, scope. And it's not scope. If you have an interpretation, then you are not chanting. You were singing by the Spirit. But if all you want is just melodies and just kukureke, kukureke, ka, ka, ka. Kukureke, kukureke, ka, ka, ka. And you go with all the vowels. Kukurakaka, kukuraka, ku, ku, ku. Keke, ku, keke, ku, keke, ka. You are a musician. And that's cute. Amen. You are not singing by the Spirit. There's no chance in the Bible, I'm just saying. Hallelujah. What we have in the scriptures is singing by the Spirit and singing in understanding. Is that okay? Oh, do we have words like oh, words like ah, words like yes? They are melodies. They have nothing. We just sang one now. Oh, you think that oh means something? No. It's not part of the Spirit. It does not mean anything. It's just making the song singable. Is it making sense? The part of the song where you should pay attention is it gives me words to say. And that word is not oh. Amen? Yeah, Pastor, hey, I knew that God always wants to say oh through us. Ah, God cannot say oh again. No, get out. Hallelujah. Where are we? He says, so I said, the wind blows, you hear the sound. You know where it's coming from, you know where it's going to. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, the influence of the Spirit sometimes goes over our head. Sometimes your mind will play catch up years to come. I remember someone gave me a prophecy when I was 11, 12. I didn't understand one jot out of the prophecy until I was 21. That was about 10 years later. A decade later. I said, woo! You know how I understood? The exact prophecy came again. But this time around, the person who was giving it had an explanation. The first person just told me, he said, he just said it almost like a parable manner. And I was just looking at him. I was very naughty as a kid, so that in body now. Oh my. You don't want to meet me. Horrible person. I don't want to meet me too. Amen. You know, we did some horrible things in body now. Horrible. Not skinny. Don't go and start thinking. Say, I be pastor she gay. No. No. You know, reach that one. Just like pouring Yerikwe. Does he have English? You know Yerikwe. That thing that you put inside water that scratches your body. I did that a lot. I almost put a teacher's house on fire. I went to staff school, beat up his son. He beat me in class. I went to beat his son. Collected the food, said, your daddy said I should bring it. And I told him my class, but I told him the wrong class. So they went to beat everybody in that class. Horrible things. Sit on top of Storex. Very high Storex. Look at the school. Start throwing stone. When someone saw me, one person went to school together, saw me a challenge, saw me with a disciple. He said, ah, devil. So the disciple said, ah, pastor, emoji, why would you say that to the pastor? I said, he understands what he's saying. Leave him, he's right. he knows. When they called me devil, you know he has seen things. I showed him Pepe, that boy. Hallelujah. So imagine giving me prophecy at that time of my life. I didn't understand the thing. But you know what? My senses catched up with it 10 years later. Jesus saying, sometimes the influence of the Spirit goes over your brain. Who is he talking to? Nicodemus. Nicodemus is saying, how can a man be born again? Will he go back into his mother's womb? Will he? Jesus said, nah. You know what? Stop thinking about it. Your brain will catch up later. And that is the error a lot of Christians make. We want to understand it before we believe it. But that's not how God's word works. We want to understand. You know, if I want to understand everything that God is saying, I cannot just say this now. Let me understand it. No. God does not work based on your understanding. He works by faith. Say, I have faith. Oh, that's not everybody. Say, I have faith. Say, I have faith. You know, faith is not strange for the believer. It's not strange to you. You find it easy to have faith. You find it easy to believe God. Huh? You find it easy?
Yes, sir.
Huh? You find it easy to believe God. To believe God. To stay on His word. You find it easy. Say, I find it easy. Alright? So we said sometimes God goes ahead of our minds, of our logic. Our minds eventually play catch up. You know, in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul says, God uses, verse 14 to 30, God uses the foolish things of this world. He calls it the foolish things. I wonder, imagine God using the cross. If you were the one, and there was a promise, now look up, everyone. There was a promise that there will be a Messiah that will save everybody. Who are you expecting that when he's born? Huh? Someone that when he says, the world will shake. You will not be talking, no? Jesus will just be going. Mary will say, don't let him talk, don't let him talk. We see a lot at home. And he will just say, as Nicodemus came like that one will just die. Nicodemus just say, except, but who did they see? They saw a baby in a manger. Ha. I think Herod was stupid, self. Very stupid king. They say a king is born. How old is he? He's 1+. I'm not bothered. Are you? Let him come and take the throne. If they born him where? Calculate your age, Herod. You're about 50+. How is a 1-year-old king going to usurp you? Okay, let's say he will be king when he's 30. Herod, 56+29. You suppose don't leave throne at 85. God, what thing they do for throne? The foolish things of this world. God made a promise from ages past. Then fulfill it in a baby. Our minds play catch up. The things of God goes over our heads. That's why I was explaining yesterday that how do you explain healing? If you went to medical school, they will tell you how healing happens. They first tell you the pathophysiology. Oh, when someone is sick, this is what actually happened. At the cell level, this is what happened. We have doctors here. We have lab people here. Radiographers. At the cell level, this is what's happening. Abi? Tissue level. That's why the organ is now functioning this way. They say, No, we will be that. We don't know anything about medicine now. We just say, Then God's power says, when you lay hands on the sick will recover. You say, how? And God say, what do you mean by how? What do you mean by how? Because in science, when we give drugs, so what happens is that the drugs, they go to the bloodstream, the blood carries it to those cells, right? And then it starts affecting changes. It starts causing whatever. And then there's regeneration and there's renewal by the Holy Ghost. There's renewal and then the new cells are formed, right? And then the old cells and say, then healing happens. I remember the time they were explaining malaria regeneration of nerves. And you know, and they say, this is how the myelin sheets, all of that. This is why. And then God's word just says, what are they saying there? When you lay hands on the sick recovers. You say, how? God say, how like how? Just lay hands. You say, with the cell change. God say, I don't know. I don't care. Hallelujah. Yes, I actually don't care. I remember Smith Wiggins was when I heard that from. They were asking him. Say, so this healing now. So someone was healed of cancer. They're asking him. So the cancer, what happened? He said, what happened? I don't care. Is the man healed? They said, yes. Then get out of my house. Simiugu's word was radical, man. If you see that kind of preacher today, he'd probably be trending every week. Someone had cancer, he gave the blessing a blow. And the cancer disappeared. He said, cancer, big tumor. Boom! At one point, he kicked a woman who was pregnant but had tumor. Kicked, bam! Sent her to early labor, but the tumor disappeared. Amen? You know, imagine how you'll be trending. Say, pastor kicks pregnant woman. They will not tell you she was healed of cancer. I remember there was a time a pastor was he slapped someone who had cancer, and the cancer was healed. And someone say online, is it biblical to slap? It's because you don't have cancer. This question you're asking is because you are cancerless. I said, tell that pastor to go to cancer ward and say, I will slap you. Hot slap. And you'll be healed. See how people will run. See how people will line up. Amen? God's power goes over our head. Now, I'm not saying the next outreach you go. But you go my dish. Next. And you're even taking water. Next. Be healed. Wow. No, calm down. Don't say you have them in mind before. So Jesus says, you see the wind, you can't explain it. So is with every man born of the Spirit. That is, there are things that we can't explain. But they work. And that's why we are called believers. I said something yesterday. I said, if you only believe things that are logical, if you only believe things that are believable, you are not a believer. You are a believer because against all odds, you choose sides with God. So I choose sides with God. Come on. So I choose sides with God. Don't let anybody bully you into thinking that until you see something, that's when you should believe it. Because the world does not operate like that too. Sometimes the world you will see and they will not believe. The Paul not say in Romans 1, 18 to 20 that God created everything so that every man is without an excuse, right? Right? Every man will see creation and will say, God made it. Till today, we still have people that are arguing that who created the world. And someone told me that everything came from nothing. I said, hear yourself. He said, everything came from nothing. I said, what about God? He said, God does not exist. I said, what about nothing? Does nothing exist? Because nothing literally means it does not exist. You said everything came from nothing. But nothing does not exist. I mean, nothing. And so I said, me now, when I'm done on this earth, I'll go to my creator, God. I said, what about you? Say, no, you will go to nothing. I said, meaning you go back to your creator. You know, it takes faith to think that nothing created everything. Your faith even passed my own faith. You know, sometimes I tell atheists that you are a believer. Or more. You just be that. Someone said, big bang. Fire. Things collided. I said, the things that collided, where did they come from? We are not ready for that one. He said, things collided. Where the thing that collided, that thing, forget everything that came from it. The two things that collided, who created them? He said, some things collided, who created them? Those things, God. You are a believer, you don't know. Your believing is spiraling down. God said, humans came from ape. God did not create any man. Forget Adam. Humans came from ape. No wonder you look like this. Hallelujah. Like one joke like that, you must have heard it. The father said, God made us. God created us. The first man was Adam. The mother said, no, we came from apes. So the boy went to the father and said, Mom said we came from apes. He says he's talking about their side. You said we were created by God. Mom said we came from it. That's your mom's side. Hallelujah. I've given you father's joke. That's your mom's side. Amen. Or you can say that's your dad's side. Use it anyhow. But you see, the word, even when they see, they don't believe. Jesus went to Lazarus, went to Mary and Martha's house, and Lazarus was dead. And imagine someone has been dead for 4 days. Smelling. Everybody have cried. They've cried, they've taken break, they've gone home, they came back, showered, cried. Gone to sleep, came back the next morning, start crying again. Then Jesus appeared and said, "What's up? What's going on? Why are people crying?" And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Not say Lazarus, come forth was his girlfriend's name. So when he heard come forth, he said, I can't stay here. Just say. Right. So, say, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came, hands bound, legs tied. How did he come out? Goes over your head. Amen. Amen. Just the same way you can't explain how some whiz dead. And you just say, "In the name of Jesus, rise." And then it comes back up. It goes over your head. Like the wind. You hear the sound. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going to. So is with every man born of the Spirit. Don't let anybody bully you into thinking that, oh, when you start seeing things, then you should believe. They don't. They saw the entire world created and they still don't believe that there's a God. Jesus, he called Lazarus out. And guess what? He saw the people there to change their minds about Jesus. What did they do? Bible says they combined more to see how they can kill him. You would have thought, oh, when they see Lazarus come out, they will say, "Hands up, you've caught us. You are the Lord. I believe you now." No. Bible says they went to the Pharisees and said everything they saw. And they said, "How can we kill him faster? But we are believers." Oh, maybe I'm the only one here. We are believers. We are believers. We are believers. We believe the supernatural. We believe in God. We believe God's word is true. Oh, we believe God's word is true. You believe it? So God gave us his spirit. So you are not all flesh. You are not all brain. You are not, everything about you is not engineering. Everything about you is not medicine. Everything about you is not teaching. Everything about you is not tailoring. That's not all about you. You got the Holy Ghost. Hey, you got the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost. So you can start thinking differently. You can start acting differently. You can start talking differently. Huh? You are who he says you are.
Who says I am?
Oh my, play for me as a plus. I am who he says I am. 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 I have what he says I have. I have what he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. I can do what he says I can do. I can do what he says I can do. I can do what he says I can do. If he says I can heal the sick, I can heal the sick. If he says I can raise the dead, I can raise the dead. Oh yes, I believe God's word. It is true for me. It is true for me. It is true for me. I'm a believer. My mind can catch up later. Yeah. Your mind can catch up later. Like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going to. But you hear the sound. You hear the sound. You hear the sound. You know that something is happening. You hear the sound. So is every man born of the Spirit. God has placed his spirit in us to do his work on the earth. And listen, this is why we call it believers meeting. To strengthen your faith in the supernatural. And we are in a world, I was talking to two of my friends. They are in the US. One is in Florida and the other one is in Atlanta, Georgia. And we're talking. And predominantly, they were saying something around that the world is now more concerned about knowledge. And the people they meet, because both of them are academics, they are both lecturers.
And he's saying that the people they meet every day, that people who have knowledge of science, that's what they do, science. And if you're not careful, you can get so drawn into that circle. I'm an academic myself, taking few courses outside the country. And you hear people talk and you know, come on. People know things. And they talk about different things. Even business, you know. You hear people talk about business and the way they analyze business. How do you know all of these things? We are in a world of so much knowledge. And if the believer is not careful, he will get so sucked in that you start analyzing everything. And then when they say sing in tongues, you say, what exactly are we even saying? What exactly are we saying? How do we know what we are saying? No, calm down. Like the wind that blows, it goes over your head to think of where it's coming from. It goes over your head to think of where it's going to. You don't understand it, but you see the influence. So is wheat, every man born of the Spirit. Faith before understanding. I told you yesterday, faith precedes understanding. It goes before it. The writer of Hebrews chapter 7 said, faith is something so woeful. The evidence of things not seen. It has told us in verse 3, he said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Look at that. He didn't say, when we understood, we had faith. No, he said, by faith, we now understood. Is it making sense? Sometimes we wait for it that, oh, when I understand everything, I will start having faith. When I understand everything, I will start having faith. I had a teaching of recent, faith that moved meetings. I told you, Paul says, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You'd have thought, when he says in 2 Corinthians 3, right? When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is our spirit, where the spirit of the Lord is his liberty. You'd have thought, oh, when you take the veil away, I will turn to the Lord. Right? When you take the veil away, no. The Bible says the opposite. Turn to the Lord, the veil will go. Don't wait to understand before you allow God to move. Don't wait to understand. I remember there was some years ago. I was just doing my normal everyday work, and God just told me, go to Bariga. It was an urgent. What's this urgency? Go to Bariga. There was still bike. There were still bikes in Lagos. I took bike. He told me the house, the color of the house, the person I was going to meet, his name, his mother's name, almost everything about him. I had a message for him. When I saw him, I already saw him from afar. I stepped down from the bike. I told the bike to wait for me. I told him everything. Intentionally, I told him everything about him. Normally, I would not mention mother's name and everything. But I wanted him to, you understand? Eh? You know, signs and wonders, they confirm your message. So I was done. When I was done, I just said, so that's it. But he was looking at me like this is Jesus. And I played along. So he said, what's your name, sir? So I look back. Changes my bike. You saw me on bike. I came on bike. I left on bike. You are saying, what's your name? If I'm Emmanuel, will I not disappear? So I have the drama. And he must have told his friends that he met Jesus today. And that's who we are. We are his hands. And his voice. Yes. Yes. We are his outstretched arm on the street. We are the Jesus they can see. You know, when people meet with you, they should say, I met Jesus today. When people hear you talk, they should say, God spoke to me today. That's who you are. That's who you be. And that's how you walk. And that's how you talk. You know, but if I waited for my brain to catch up, that brother is not going to hear a word that day, because I was going to ask a lot of questions. Why should I be going to Bariga? God has not told you anything. You just say, go to Bariga. Say, am I running mad? Why would I be going to Bariga? For what? go to Bariga. You meet social person. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the house. I don't know the streets. I don't know all of those areas. And I just went ahead. You know, there are times you just do things and you say, that was cool. I don't just say that. There are a lot of things like I've done. How are you going to get home? You say, nah, that was cool. Hallelujah. That was cool. You give a word of knowledge. And that's how God works through us. But if we always bring in our understanding, we will never do God's will. If we always use logic to justify everything, we will always be behind. Because the Holy Ghost, at times, goes ahead of our senses, of our faculties, and it gets things done. And I trust God for you. I trust God for you. I trust God for you. That you allow Him talk through you. You allow Him speak through you. You allow Him bless others through you. You will not allow the flesh to step in. You will be a believer, true and true. Oh, your ministry will be characterized with the moving of the Spirit, with the influence of the Holy Ghost. Your ministry will be characterized with the influence of the Holy Ghost. You always know what to say. He always gives you what to say. And you don't allow the flesh keep you in the dark. You don't allow the flesh suck you in. You don't allow the lack of understanding to shut you out. No. You are a believer. You are a believer. And the supernatural is yours. The supernatural is yours. Come on, that's not loud enough. The supernatural is yours. The supernatural is yours. It's yours. It's yours. This morning. This morning. Here and now. Here and now. 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 I'm yielding to the Holy Ghost. Here and now. I'm yielding to the Holy Ghost. Here and now. I can hear and I can speak by the Holy Ghost. My mind will catch up. Amen. God wants to say things to you now. And He wants to say things to you. But guess what? Sometimes your mind is behind. Sometimes you understand what God is saying. No, that's. But sometimes your mind is behind. The first time I laid hands on the sick, how it happened, I cannot explain to you. I just need that to happen. But how do you explain a lump going down? I mean, it's a lump. It's been there for close to a year. And it just went down like that. I can't explain it, and I don't care. You think I care? You think the woman cares? No. She was all dancing all night. And they were all calling me. Hey, hey, hey. And I remember the words of the person that used to disciple us. Says, if you allow praise get into your head, you go to hell. That's what he used to tell us. But if you allow praise get into your head, you are going to hell. So I just, yeah. The pastor that invited said, young evangelist, you did this. I said, no, God did it. Can I explain it? No. It's been how many years now? Say 15 plus. I still can't explain it. My mind is still here to catch up. But that will never stop me from doing what God wants to do. I believe. I am a believer. I don't know if you only believe the things that are believable, you are not a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer because sometimes it doesn't make sense. But yes, you see what? I believe. This morning. Your hands up. This morning. This morning, I yield to the Holy Ghost. This morning, I talk by the Holy Ghost. I hear by the Holy Ghost. I feel by the Holy Ghost. The tangible power of God is working through my body. My hands are healing hands. This morning, I'm a blessing to others. I'm a blessing to others. And I'll be blessed too. I will get direction and clarity and comfort and exaltation and edification. I will leave that door better
than I came in. I will live a better believer. I will live a better believer. I will believe more. I will believe more. I will be more faithful. I'll be more full of faith. 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 I'll be more full of faith to walk in God's plan and to recognize it. This morning, I'm yielding to the Holy Ghost. This morning, I'm yielding to the Holy Ghost. This morning, I'm yielding to the Holy Ghost. You ready? Can we yield to the Holy Ghost? Come on, can we speak in tongues? Just speak in tongues.